In contemplating tonight's topic, maternity and halacha, the first thing that came to mind was the classic children's book, Are You My Mother?, written by a Talmud of Dr. Seuss. However, when I looked at Rabbi Bleich's initial essay on this topic, reprinted in the first volume of Contemporary Halachic Problems, he actually cites a more accurate marmakom, which is Dr. Seuss himself's Horton Hatches an Egg, which is an apt description of the issue that we'll be discussing. Namely, given current reproductive technological advances, where there's a possibility of a genetic mother who's different than the gestational mother, how do we define maternity in halacha? In the past, while we could have theoretically discussed the question as to whether maternity is determined at the point of conception, the point of birth, the practical ramifications of that seem to be relatively limited, if anything, until the contemporary era of the last few decades. That's the issue that we'll discuss. And the starting point is this week's Seder, Parshas Vayigash, where the Torah tells us in the list of the 69 members of Yaakov's family that went down to Mitzrayim, Perek Mem Vav, the Torah lists Shaul ben Haknanis. Says Rashi, Pasuk Yud, Ben Akananis, Ben Dina, Shinivala Liknani, Kishahargo Eschem, Lohai Sadina Rosalates, Achinishbala Shimon Shisen. So Rashi says, quoting the traditional Chazal, that Shimon married Dina. Okay. The problem with that is raised by, among others, the Moshe of Zakein and Mibali Tosas, which have the next page of the Marmakamas here. The Tema, Hayach Nasa Shimon es Achoso. How is it that Shimon married his sister Leah, Dina rather? So isn't that the type of error that's usher even for Ben Noach? They have the same father, the same mother. Ishlamar, de elam arayis ela bulas baal. So first he says, no, maybe the isher erva for Ben Noach is only for Nashis Ish. Veinira, eli ishlamar, sheiker hirayon shel Dina bebeten Rachel haya. That initially Dina, at the point of conception, was formed in Rachel's uterus. V'zeo sheyisid apayit tava b'kli yotzer ha'avir. So that is the tradition cited here, that within that tradition of Chazal, that somehow originally Leah was supposed to give birth to an additional shevet, to Yosef, and Rachel was supposed to give birth to Dina, and they were switched. So this stream of the tradition doesn't assume that they were switched before conception, but rather they were switched after conception and ended up in the opposite rechem. So this is more famously attributed to the Targum Yonasan in Parsha Svayetze. Paraglam and Pasuk Kaval, Baruch Yal Debas, Vatakra Es Shema Dina. So in the Targum Yonasan here, there is such a train of thought. Ischalfu Ubraya V'meya B'mi Ehon. That the ubers, the fetuses, were switched in utero. Okay. So some want to quote this as a raya to define paternity as based on the moment of conception, not the moment of birth. The reason that we get out of the problem of Shimon marrying his sister is that it wasn't his sister Mina'im, because the real mother, the real halachic mother, was Rachel and not Leah. Okay? That's suggested by some. Although the obvious retort to that raya is Ein Lemeidin Minagadata, that this isn't exactly a halachic context, and therefore the halachic validity or the halachic mileage you can get out of it may be somewhat limited.
Also, the Torah constantly counts Yosef as among the Bnei Rachel.
Right.
According to this, she's good. The Bnei Leah.
Right. Okay, good. Others quote a potentially opposing raya. Really a Gemara in Megillah, but it's expounded on a little bit by the Maral in Or Chadash, in his commentary on Megillah Esther. So you have this in the Arma Kombos, Or Chadash on Perek Beis Halacha Zayin in Megillah. Vahi Omenas Hadassah, Hi Esther Bas Dodo. Ki ein lo av v'ein. So the Gemara tells us in Megillah on Daf Yud Gimel, what does it mean, ein lo av v'ein? Uvimosaviya v'imala kachal mordechai lo levas. So what does that add? Amr v'acha, ibrasa mesaviya. At the time that she was conceived, her father died. Yaldas, at the time of birth, mesa ima. At the time of childbirth, her mother died. Says Rashi, "Bishashin esabre ima meisavia, nimsa shelo hayala av mishashin yerli karisav." So she never had a father from the point at which it was shaykh to call him a father, meaning from the point of conception. That paternity in halacha is defined based on the point of conception. Ukishi yaldasa ima meisa v'lo nireis likrosem. So she was never able to be called a mother. So that sounds a little bit like the definition of maternity is dependent on birth and not on conception. Okay. And some point out that there may even be a steer in Gemaras. If you look in the next page of the Marmar Kamos, so first here you have the Gemara in Yevamos on Daf Sadi. Where are we? Sadi Zayin Amibes. This is quoted in the Chavetzelis HaSharon in this week's Parasha, in Rav Zalman Nechemia's article on this topic, in one of the earlier Tchumins, in Rav Asher Weiss's Tshuva, so most people quote this. The Mishnah says, the Gemara on the bottom of Sadi Zayin Amibes in Yevamos, Tashma, five lines from the bottom, Shnei Achim Ta'omim Gerim. If you have two twin brothers who are gerim, v'chein mishachrarim, and same thing if they're twin brothers who are avadim mishachrarim, lo cholsin lo miyabim v'ein chayav mishemesh yisach, so there's no chalitza, should one of them die without children, there's no yibam, and there's no chiyav eish yisach. They're not considered to be halachically related to each other. Haisa harasan shalom b'kdusha v'leidasim b'kdusha. What happens if at the time of conception they were not Jewish, but at the time of birth they were Jewish, meaning the mother converted between the time of conception and the time of childbirth. Lo cholsin v'lo miyabmin. So there's no chalitzin, there's no yibam, because the father is still not Jewish. Aval chayavim mishum eshesach. However, there is a chiv eshesach, meaning there is a halachic relationship between these two twin siblings. So what does that sound like? Sounds like maternity is dependent on the time of birth, because at the time that these babies were born, they were halachically Jewish, and therefore related. And yet, if you look on the next page, Yevamos Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, towards the bottom, the Gemara quotes a Memer of Rava, Nachris Muberes Cheneskaira, three lines from the bottom, V'na'a Ein Saruch Tvila. So if a pregnant woman converts, her son does not require any subsequent tefillah after she is born. The tefillah for the mother works for the child. However, if there's no tefillah, if the tefillah for the mother wouldn't have worked for the child, then it sounds like the child would not be considered, would require their own tefillah. And if it was the case that maternity is defined based on the time of birth, so even if the child didn't have their own tefillah, born to a Jewish mother, because the mother converted in the interim. So that sounds like the theory is that maternity is defined at an earlier point than birth.
What's the right here?
The right here is that if the mother underwent the tefillah, that it's only because the principle of Haina Revise, or the principle that the Gemara articulates of Ubi Yerach Imo, then the tefillah works for the kid. If not for the fact that that tefillah would work for the kid, the tefillah of the mother in and of itself wouldn't be enough to make the child Jewish. That sounds like we're defining maternity at the point of an earlier point, which presumably is the point of conception. So if you look at those who discuss this, there are ways out. There's a famous Granat, and Yitzchak Blaser has this a little bit also in Zecher Yitzchak, that maybe the requirement that tefillah isn't really a tefillah of geirus, a tefillah for Kedushas Yisrael, and maybe the baby's Jewish anyway, they just need an added level of Kedushas Yisrael to compensate for the non-Jewish father. Okay, whatever that is. So the Arayas, Lakan u Lakan. Rav Schwartz, our Abbezin, should have Rav Lema, is fond of quoting Rav Meir Arik, one of the Gedolim of pre-war Europe, as being of the position that maternity is defined based on the birth mother and not based on the genetic mother. And what was his raya? So Meir Arik didn't write this himself, but he's quoted in an interesting work called HaTalmud U'Mada'e HaTevel, written by a Rabbi Yekusiel Kemelhar, who was a Galiziano Rav before the war. Rabbi Bleich quotes this in his first essay, or brief essay on this topic. So in this work, HaTalmud U'Mada'e HaTevel, which you have on the last page of the Mamar Komos, he quotes a theoretical discussion, which he attributes to a medical conference in Chicago in 1911, about the status of a uterine transplant, which at that point was totally theoretical. Apparently there was a successful one in Sweden a couple years ago. They transferred the uterus from one woman to another, implanted in the second woman, and let's say she'd be able to have a successful pregnancy with someone else's uterus. So who is the halachic mother of the baby that is born through that procedure? Is it the owner of the genetic material of the uterus, or is it the birth mother, the gestational carrier? So he quotes a raya from a Gemara in Sota, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara there is talking about grafting different types of trees together as far as Chiyuv Orla. It's an obvious connection. So the Gemara there says that if you're looking here, it's the second to last paragraph in the first column. Yalda Shesavcha Bezekena, if you graft together an older branch with a younger branch, but la yalda vizikeno. So the older one, which is more primary, larger, more pronounced, is mevatel the younger one, ve'en badin orla. And therefore, even though the younger one alone would have been subject to orla because it's within the first 3 years, but because it becomes batel, it's subsumed under the older one, there's no din of orla. So we assume, same thing over here, that if you transplant one woman's uterus to another woman, so because that's a small part of the entire body of the second woman, that's batel to the woman's body, and therefore the baby would be considered the baby of the second woman and not of the first woman. And Rav Schwartz assumes, and others as well, that the halachic principle behind the question of uterine transplants is the same as behind a baby conceived through, let's say, IVF, is implanted in a gestational carrier, where the genetic material comes from mother one, and the birth is and the pregnancy is held by mother two. That's questionable whether that's such an obvious jump. Rav Asher Weiss in his tshuva says Ma inyan ze eitzel ze, and his lashon is V'chi ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh. You can learn out Hilchos human beings from Hilchos Orla. Okay, but some of Schwartz is very very fond of this raya, and the fact that, or at least Rav Meir Arik endorsed it, as cited here. By him, Rav Meir Arik is a major posek to reckon with. And Rav Schwartz's netiyah, therefore, is that in principle, the Ikaradin, he's more inclined to view the halachic mother as the gestational mother and not as the genetic mother. That is the position quoted in the name of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik as well. And that's the initial position quoted by the Nishmas Avram in the name of Rav Yashiv. There are shmuas that subsequently Uvayashiv is choser, and Uvayashiv embraced the position that the halachic mother is the genetic mother. Rabbi Willig is more inclined to the second position, that the halachic mother is the genetic mother. Rabbi Zalman Nechemya, in his article in Tchumin, is more inclined to the fact that the gestational mother is the real halachic mother. Rabbi Asher Weiss is inclined to Rabbi Willig's approach that it's the genetic mother. He thinks in Svara, it makes more sense that the definition of paternity and maternity should be parallel. It's clear in halacha that we define paternity based on the time of conception, so it should follow we would define maternity based on the time of conception as well. Nevertheless, just about all contemporary poskim and poskim of the last generation that discuss this are not sufficiently convinced to assume that their position is correct, and therefore the recommendation, which is the general policy of our best and of Bati Din in America, Bati Din in Eretz Yisrael, is that anytime you have a situation where either the gestational carrier or the genetic mother is not Jewish, then a gerus would be required, recommended, at least the chumrah. Now, how exactly you conceive of that gerus, pardon the pun, would depend on what your baseline orientation is. Do you view it as a gerus more lechumrah or a gerus more mikra din? But as a bottom line practical matter, the general recommendation is to cover your bases and require a gerus anytime there's a non-Jewish mother involved somewhere in the mix. And that is our operating premise. Just anecdotally, the number of gerus cases that we've had of such situations where any, again, either mother is not Jewish, has risen significantly over the last 10 years. At the same time, the number of adoptions has gone down. The easier access to these types of, leaving aside, not our issue to discuss the halachic prudence of it and under what circumstances, but the relatively easier access to such technology has seemingly, within the Frum community, significantly lowered the number of adoptions going on, as this has become a more appealing option for people having fertility issues where this would solve the problem than adopting. The Rav Schwartz has a tshuva about the following shiloh back 10, 11 years ago. There was a case of a Kohen who provided the Zera for an IVF cycle with a non-Jewish woman, but his wife carried the baby. So there is a non-Jewish egg, but the Jewish wife of this Kohen carried the baby. So what's the status of the kid, Klape Kahuna? So many poskim assume, I think the significant majority of poskim assume, that in general, the Baal Hazera in any IVF situation is the halachic father. You know, let's say a standard case where it's the genetic material of both the mother and the father, and the mother carries the baby. It's just conception is done through IVF. So then most poskim assume that the Baal Hazera is the halachic father that any shayla will find. So assuming that's the case, but what about over here? There's a non-Jewish egg, Jewish Zera, and a Jewish carrier. So, because of Schwartz's orientation is that, in principle, the halachic mother is the gestational mother, so in this case, he thought that the halachic mother is a Jewish party here. L'chumra is appropriate to do gerus, but since that's only l'chumra, he felt that, as far as kahuna is concerned, you should be machmir in both directions. Just like there's a tshuva here of the Sridei Eish that is Zirex, or that Yehuda Zirex, the Sridei Eish in the end of Semen Ches of Chela Gimel in the old printing of the Sridei Eish. So there he's talking about a case of a Safek Chalal, a case of a Eved V'Akam of Abbas Yisrael, and then the child married a Kohen, so you have a Kohen married to a girl with a non-Jewish father. That's Aser. Question is, what's the status of that vlad? So that may be machlokes. So by Safek Chalal, the Sridei Eish's recommendation is essentially that you should treat him as a Kohen L'chumra B'na L'kula. So he shouldn't duchen, But he shouldn't be metamei lemesim. He shouldn't go to cemeteries. However, as far as giving him the Kohen Aliyah, since there's no issue to give Yisrael the Kohen Aliyah, it's just a convention to avoid fights, so it's not a problem to give him the Kohen Aliyah. So that was the Schwartz's psak in this case. So the kid who had the non-Jewish genetic material from his mother, but the Jewish gestational mother, who underwent the gir l'chumra just to cover the bases in Rav Schwartz's mind, could also get the Kohen Aliyah. So that's one of the rare cases where you can have a gear with a Kohen,
yeah.
Kind of. It's not the standard, fare. There's another issue that's come up recently that Rav Usher Weiss has written about, and that is the story with mitochondrial DNA. So apparently, my limited understanding of the science is that there are certain situations in which even an IVF cycle, even creating a baby in vitro, may not solve certain genetic problems or may still allow for certain genetic diseases. And that could be gotten around by taking some genetic material from a third mother, another mother. Meaning you have rove of the genetic material from the mother who is the balas egg, but there is a little bit of genetic material taken from another mother. So here you have, let's say you have the gestational mother, you have the 95% or 99% genetic mother, and you have the 1% genetic mother. So there are two women that contribute to the genetic material of the baby. So what would you say about the maternity in that case? If in general your inclination is to, or at least your choshesh, that the genetic mother is the halachic mother on some level, what if you have more than one genetic mother? So Rav Usher Weiss assumes that that's impossible. You can't have more than one mother. So lo yitachin. And he says, no, so you follow the rove. So if the rove of the genetic material is from the first mother, so then that's the halachic mother. I, Davar Maimid. So sometimes Davar Maimid isn't, but don't bother me, Davar Maimid. It can't be that there's more than one mother. Rabbi Bleich, in an article in Tradition 1994, I'm not sure if it was republished in the latest volume of Contemporary Halachic Problems, but Rabbi Bleich doesn't think that's a pasha, because he points out whether you can have two fathers is a machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Obviously. What Rashi and Tosos? So there's Gemara in Sota and Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara in Agadita there quotes the pasuk by Goyas, Vayetze Ish HaBeinayim. The Gemara says, My Beinayim. Why was Goyas referred to, as Ish HaBeinayim? The Gemara there quotes four deus in Amoraim. The last one is, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bar Mea Pape V'chada Nanai. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Ben Ataroves, Shabau harbe anashim al ima belaila achas, v'nis abra min echad. So there are many men that were bow with his mother in one night, and she became pregnant from one of them. Nimsa echad aviv v'kulan minafim. So there's only one real father, and the rest of them were minafim. So that's beinayim from these people. There are 100 people who are boel her, and only one of them impregnated her. Okay. Tosos argues on Rashi, and Tosos there has a line that, no, it's possible that a woman's egg could receive zera from more than one man at the same time. Meaning one egg could receive zera from more than one man. So according to that, Rabbi Bleich points out, you have a possibility that a person could have two fathers. And in Cain, if a person can have two fathers, then why can't a person have two mothers? Meaning maybe you have the same theoretical possibility meaning if you can have genetic material of two fathers, why can't you have genetic material of two mothers? David Shante told me that Rasha Weiss was in Boca last year. He asked him what he thought about Rabbi Bleich's Raya, and he said he hadn't thought about it. Okay, so that's one of the more contemporary issues. I think this is in, I'm not sure, there's some literature about this happening. I'm not sure exactly where the where the regulatory authorities stand on this now, and whether this is being done or to what extent, but if it's not done now, it could be that it will be done. One of the other things discussed, and this will have to end, is the ramifications for Pidyon HaBen. Zalman Nechemi talks about this a little bit in his article. Dr. Halpin has an article. Let's say if you have a genetic, everyone's Jewish, you have a genetic, the mother contributes the egg and the mother that carries the baby. So what happens if one of them previously had a child and the other one didn't? So where does that leave you as far as Pinyon HaBen? So those who write about it think, and there are rayas, which we don't have time to get into, that in all likelihood, Pinyon HaBen is Peter Rabbi. So you can't really talk about it. Even if you would theoretically believe that the halachic mother is the genetic mother, but how could you have, how could you define Pinyon HaBen based on the genetic mother, not based on the Peter Rechem? So the bottom line seems to be in the literature that maybe you would still be mocking in both directions, meaning as long as either the players didn't have a baby yet, you should be machmir to do a Pidyon HaBen. But at the same time, it wouldn't save the other mother from having to do a Pidyon HaBen if she has a naturally conceived and carried baby subsequent to that. So this could cut in either direction, and presumably there's what to be machmir about both ways. But bottom line, this is a generally unresolved issue that seems to be a standing machlokas haposkim that almost no one is willing to take a firm, unequivocal stand about bein lekula bein lechumra, which is why our policy is generally to require a gevurah. So it could be avo hayom sometime down the road that there'll be more of a consensus among the halachic authorities. You know, whenever we do a gevurah like this, we write the circumstances in the shtar so that in 20 years down the road, if the halachic consensus changes, so people will have a record as to what the reason was. And then even if we did a gevurah now because we're assuming a certain position, if the consensus, overwhelming consensus, becomes contrary, so then you could assume that the gevurah was not necessary, and whatever consequences that have would be in place.